Testing 1, 5, 7, 9. Okay. I'm learning how to count as a math teacher. It's a good idea. Right? I got a note here. That's better. I can hear myself. That's important, see, with my personality type. I'm trying to get Mrs. Waits to laugh. She's had a hard week, and you know, she had to call the IRS the other day. That'll just kill anybody's week. And, well, I won't tell what happened. It's just, you know, we're not airing dirty laundry tonight. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I was given a note here. We need to pray for Brother Wilkins. He had a biopsy today, and pray that those tests would be favorable, if you would. He's been battling back and forth with some things as well. And church, this just goes to show you we need prayer. If I don't write things down, I forget about them. And if I write them down, I usually lose the paper that I wrote it down on, so I forget about it anyways. But my dad called me yesterday, and my little brother, who is like 6'2", 250 pounds, I call him my little brother, and he's 6 years younger than I, and he and his wife were expecting their third child, and they went for an ultrasound Tuesday, and they were told at the ultrasound that the baby had died about a week previous, and she was about 15 weeks along. And so pray for them. She's going to have to go through that birth process on Friday. Just difficult time. But God is good. And I was talking to him a little bit last night. And, you know, he's not too depressed about it. But I told him, said, you know, we don't know why things happen all the time and why this happens and why that happens. But we just got to trust that God has a design and a purpose for it. And that through it all, it'll make its way to that it's the right thing for our lives and help us and strengthen us. And so pray for him and his wife. His name is Christopher. His wife's name is Darcy. And, of course, pray for me as I get a chance to talk to him and help him in this difficult time. Well, if you have your Bibles, why don't you go to the book of Proverbs. We're going to start in chapter 1. And I hope that you're staying on track with your Bible reading this year. Amen? It's difficult. No? Okay. It's only difficult for me. Okay. I can see what kind of night this is going to be. All right. It's difficult, isn't it? Okay. You get up early and you're sitting there in your spot, and maybe you've prayed and you start your reading and you go, I got to reread that verse. You know, it takes you like 10 minutes to read 5 verses. I'm just trying to be honest with y'all. That doesn't happen to you? Oh, that's right. You're perfect. I forgot. Okay. I thought I was the only one that thought that about myself. Okay. Please stand. I'm getting there. I got to kill a couple rabbits first. Please stand for the reading of God's word. And if I didn't do that, you would wonder what you did with Brother Combs, because that's who I am. But we're in Proverbs chapter 1. We'll read a little bit here, and we'll get on with some preaching this evening. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. This evening I'd just like to try to be an encouragement to you. I pretty much know to whom I'm speaking. The Wednesday night crowd, Trinity Baptist Church. Some of the greatest Christians I know are in this room. Greatest soul winners I know are in this room. But you know, I've kind of discovered something. You know, when you get out of Bible college and you think you know everything, and you maybe go into the ministry and pretty confident about yourself and things you do, and then after about a week or so, you find out you don't know anything. And you have much to learn. And these past 6 years have been some of the most profitable years of my life. But I've learned one thing, probably above all, that God wants me to be a wise Christian. He wants me to be wise. So tonight I just want to talk to you just a little bit about the ways of wisdom. The ways of wisdom. You know, I think we all, without exception, could do with a little more wisdom in our day-to-day Christian life. Might serve us well. And who knows what would happen if that were to come to pass. Let's pray. Then, Father, Lord, I pray that you bless tonight. Lord, as we search through the Scriptures and look for ways to construct our own personal character and conform ourselves to the image of Christ, Lord, we need your guidance, your Holy Spirit speaking to us. You're working and changing and constructing in our lives as individuals so that we as a church collectively can be the light that shines in our community, in our state, and in our world. Lord, we pray that you'd speak to us tonight. God, I pray that you'd soften hearts, that you'd open the ears of people, that they would hear what you have to say tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to do a little teaching, preaching tonight, okay? The definition, one definition of wisdom is the best use of knowledge and understanding. You see, you catch the word there? A use, the best use of knowledge and understanding. And then a definition of another word is prudence, which means executing sound judgment. You know, wisdom and prudence are things that we need to use and utilize in our lives as Christians. The Bible instructs us to be wise. God wants us to be wise. Solomon here, as he was seeking God, chose wisdom above the other things that were offered to him. And you know what God did? He gave him all. He gave him it all. We need wisdom in our life. It's something we need. It's not just the cherry and whipped cream on top that's just extra, you know, in life. It's something we need. It's the ice cream. We need that. I got a couple smiles there, right? We need ice cream, okay? We'll see you all at Brahms after church, okay? Now, it's the substance. We've got to work from that as Christians in our life. Listen, without it, what's the opposite of wisdom? Foolishness. How many of you want to walk around being a fool? I don't think anybody does. We all want to be wise, and we should be wise. But you know, I found out that that's not as easily done as it is said. It's difficult. Because I've got to take things that I've learned, knowledge and understanding and the different things in the Christian life that God teaches me, and I've got to actually put them to work. I've got to apply them. I've got to put them to the best use that I can. You know, I know a lot of things that I'm supposed to do. I do. I know lots of things that I should do. I know a lot of things that I ought to do, but I'm not very good at doing them. I'm not very good at implementing them in my life. Anybody else like that? Yeah. See, wisdom is putting to use, the best use, knowledge and understanding. So as we look at tonight, just very quickly, the ways of wisdom, perhaps it will help you to be more wise as Christians. You know, the devil is trying to trick us. Okay, anybody met a used car salesman that tricked you? Okay, or some door-to-door salesman that tricked you? Or some infomercial on TV that tricked you? This is the greatest invention ever made. It's because maybe you weren't wise. You foolishly purchased something or foolishly got into something you shouldn't have because someone lured you in with enticing words and promises that couldn't be fulfilled. We have all been there. And then after that happens, you say, "Boy, I wish I would have been more wise about that." Anybody else like that? Yes. So we need to study a little bit the ways of wisdom tonight. So I want to see if we can do some help with this. First of all, I want you to consider, okay, the precepts. The precepts of godly wisdom. The precepts of God. You know what a precept is? Our preacher alluded to it in a few messages ago. It's to take beforehand, or the commandments meant as a rule of conduct. That's what precepts are. You know, back if you go over to Psalm 119, we can find a couple of verses here that talk about precepts. The precepts of godly wisdom. Look at Psalm 119, verse 4. It says, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." Keep thy precepts. That's the rule of conduct in our life. Diligently. You know, back in our text in Proverbs 1, he goes on in verse 10, says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." That's a rule of conduct, isn't it? Is it not? So wisdom has precepts, things that we're supposed to take beforehand with us into our walk with God and walk as a Christian in our life. We need to live by the precepts of wisdom. Over in verse 104 of Psalm 119, look what it says. "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." You remember what Solomon said? He said, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Remember what wisdom meant? The best use of knowledge and understanding? Before we can be wise, we have to know and understand and put them to use. How much do you know about this book? Can I just, well, I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to ask you if I can, because I'm just going to do it. I don't know as much about this book as I should. Do any of us, really? No. I don't understand as much about this book, my God and my Savior, as I should. But if I did, I'd be more wise. It's a precept of wisdom. Something that comes beforehand. Something that is a rule of conduct in our life. How much we know about the Word of God. Look at verse 159. "Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." You see, we've got to know a little bit about God and the Word of God. We've got to be building our volumes of knowledge and understanding through the leading of the Holy Spirit as He speaks to us as we read the precious Word of God. That's what we have. You want to be wise? Read the Word. Follow the precepts. Make them a part of your life. Go to Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 1. Remember, we're talking about the ways of wisdom, and I'm asking you to consider the ways of godly precepts of wisdom. Look at verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Wisdom wants to be heard. Wisdom wants to be a part of our lives. She's crying at the gates. Will you answer the call? You see, one of the reasons why we do not practice sound judgment, we don't have prudence. One of the reasons why we aren't considered wise is because we have a lack of knowledge and understanding. If you go back to Proverbs 1, isn't that what Solomon said? He said, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. A wise man will hear, will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. But for some reason, we neglect all of those things. And we trust our wisdom. Okay, not too bright, but that's the lot we have, isn't it? Seems to be. When we make foolish mistakes, it's probably because we didn't follow the Word of God. Probably because we didn't follow wise counsel. Probably because we didn't read and we didn't know and we didn't put into practice the principles of the Word of God. I would pretty much guarantee that that happens, and that's the reason all of the time. I know it is for me, and I'm sure it is for you. We've got to be wise and walk in the ways of wisdom in our life if we're going to do what we need to do for God. We just have to. And it starts with precepts. But you know what follows precepts? You can gain knowledge. You can gain understanding. You can make them a rule of conduct in your life. But if you don't practice it, all you're going to have is a bunch of knowledge. You remember the definition I gave? The best use of knowledge and understanding. That's what wisdom is. So now, number two, I want to talk to you about the ways of godly practice of wisdom. Godly practice. We've got to use the wisdom that we're given. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Solomon says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. You know, when you keep something, isn't that action? Isn't that practice? Just for fun, I looked at the definition of practice. One of the definitions was to do or perform frequently. Yeah, to do or perform frequently. That's practice. How many of us practice wisdom on a consistent basis? Perform it frequently. Right? Wouldn't that be good? That's what God expects. God wants us to be conformed to the image of Christ. Did Christ perform frequently? I think so. All the time. Right? Did he follow the precepts of himself? Yes, he did. They're his. He was perfect. See, this is what God wants for us. So as we continue to read, it says in verse 2, if you do this, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. That sounds like you're practicing. You know, I tell kids one of the best ways to learn something is to write it. Because not only are you either listening to it and writing it down, processing it in your brain, processing it with your hand, you know, it's going to help you remember. You're going to practice it. Writing things and reciting things and not letting them leave you. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's action, isn't it? Through your daily decisions and daily life, do you trust God? Do you perform that frequently? Make it a godly practice, the ways of wisdom. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance. That sounds like a practice, doesn't it? And with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Don't those things sound like putting into practice precepts, knowledge, and understanding to you? They sound like it to me. Back in Proverbs chapter 1, it said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Over in Proverbs chapter 8, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says that in Proverbs chapter 8. Do you fear God? Do you have that fear, that reverential fear of Him? Do you respect God? I remember in Bible college, I tell this story often, so some of you have maybe heard this. But I was in a soul-winning class. And the teacher, I even forget the question they asked, but he asked a question. And he said, do you guys believe this? We said, well, yes. It was some fundamental doctrine or something. And of course, we believed it. Then he asked this following question. He said, when's the last time that you practiced this? Or have you practiced that this week? Or this month? Or I forget what it was, but none of us could answer yes. And he said, well, then you really don't believe it. Because if you believed it, you'd practice it. If you really held to it and it was something that was part of you, then you'd practice it. Yeah, but soul winning is the heartbeat of God. When's the last time you went? Do you really believe it? You know what James says, right? I'll show you my faith by my works. I'm going to put it into practice. I'm going to make sure that you know it works because God said it's going to work, so I'm going to put it into practice. I'm not just going to stand here and say it is how it's supposed to be. I'm going to practice it. Do it and perform it frequently. Shouldn't we? The ways of wisdom. See, this is not difficult. And I'm not tonight standing up here speaking down to you because I've got a lot to learn of my own. But we all need this truth in our life to grow by it, to be more wise as Christians. We need to encourage one another. We need to sharpen one another. We need to practice the wisdom of God. We need it. You know what? If we have the precepts, the foundation, turning it into wisdom by the best use of that knowledge and understanding. And as we practice and do it frequently, anybody that's ever played sports knows that when you practice something frequently, maybe you're doing free throws, and you follow a certain method every time, right? You're going to make a lot of those free throws. In a golf swing, if you do the same thing every time, if it's right, right, Brother Reed? If it's wrong, it's going to go the same direction every time. in the weeds. If you want to know how to do that, see me and I'll show you how. Okay? I've perfected it over the years. Wouldn't you like the same results every time? Every time you had an opportunity to talk to someone about Christ? Every time you had the opportunity to witness, wouldn't you like to see the power of God working in that? Every time you kneeled to pray to see God answer your prayers, it applies to all aspects of our life. Wisdom is not just one-dimensional where it just only applies to this thing or that thing. It encompasses all of our Christian life. As we try to walk in the ways of wisdom and learn what God wants us to learn, and we discover knowledge and understanding and put into practice, we see the ways of godly power through wisdom. And again, just for fun, I looked up power. How many of you know what these words mean, but you can't really give a book definition for them? Anybody else? Like, I do that all the time. I said, I know what this word means. Somebody said, explain this word to me. Well, let me get back to you. I'll go look it up. As I read through the definitions of power, I came across this one. It says this: the capability of producing. The capability of producing. Last I checked, God wanted us to be productive Christians. And as you know, as Jesus was in his ministry, he came upon the fig tree, didn't have any figs. Was he very pleased with that fig tree? No. As he told the story of the man who went to the far country and the talents given, was he very pleased with the man who hid the one in the ground? No, not that I can recall. Thou wicked and slothful servant. That's not what I want to hear. That's not what any of us want to hear. We want to be productive. And sometimes we look around our life and we say, why is everything that I do just die or fall apart or break? Well, maybe there's a reason for that. That's not what God wants for it to be. Perhaps we're doing it in the flesh and in the ways of the flesh. Perhaps we're not answering wisdom's call and putting into practice the precepts of God and practicing them frequently so that we can see the power of God come upon our life. Go to Proverbs chapter 8 once again. Look at what wisdom says, look at what wisdom says in verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. They go hand in hand. The best use of knowledge and understanding, executing sound judgment. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. And the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Does that sound powerful to you? Sounds powerful to me. We need to have the capability of producing. We need to have the power of God resting upon us and in our lives. Do we not? Does anybody crave that or desire that God would work through you and use you as a vessel of service for Him? I hope that's the case. I think that's the case of the people I'm looking at in here. The workers of our church, the Sunday school teachers, the bus captains. Isn't that what we need? You see, God wants us to have wisdom. He wants us to walk in the ways of wisdom with His precepts, the practice, and the power of God. You know, as I considered what to preach, God kind of said, you know, hey, know that little lesson I've been trying to teach you about wisdom? It's not always easy. But as I thought about why do I have a difficulty with this at times? Well, there's some reasons why. So number one, godly precepts. Number two, godly practice. Number three, godly power. But number four, things that cloud the way of wisdom. You know that you and I allow things in our lives that cloud the way of wisdom? And we let them in. How foolish. Doesn't seem foolish at the time. Right? How many of you have ever driven in heavy fog? Right? You know the way. Right? So you say, well, I can do this. Huh? And you're driving along and some idiot parks their car right in the middle of the road and you hit it, right? What did they do that for? Well, something was clouding the way. See, I think sometimes we just put things on cruise control and we just go through life thinking everything's okay. And then, boom, we run into something. Well, it shouldn't be that way. But many times, we're the ones that are clouding the way of wisdom in our own lives. We're fogging it up. We're keeping it so that it can't be seen clearly. Sometimes our own worldly wisdom gets in the way. We say, well, I know better than God. Or it won't happen to me. We've all said that. But it will. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So how about we just follow Him? Sounds good to me. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Things that cloud the way of wisdom. 1 John chapter 2. John says this in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. You know, people that say that there is no God, they're called fools. People that love the world are called fools. The rich man who said, hey, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry and live a happy life. Thou fool. We cloud our lives with things of the world. We become fools. They're not of the Father. They're of the world. For all that is in the world is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's wisdom. Wisdom. The best use of knowledge and understanding. As we cloud our lives with things of the world, the path of wisdom grows dim. Can't see it as clearly as we used to. Our judgment is clouded. You know, I've had to find that in my own life that there's things that distract me. I'm an easily distracted person. Just ask anybody who knows me. I am. I'm very easily distracted. My students often exploit that in their teacher. I'll be teaching a lesson and they'll say, "Oh, Brother Combs, did you hear about this?" And of course, rabbit trail. Here we go. Terrible. But now I'm getting wise to it. See, this is good. Getting wise to it. I said, "No! No, you heathen, don't do that to me." "I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to get me off on a rabbit trail. Stop it." Hey, do you recognize when the devil's trying to lead you off the path of wisdom? It happens to us. We become distracted by this or that, and we get sidetracked off the path of wisdom, where God wants us to walk. I mean, I don't know how anyone could say it any better than what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 1. Hey, this is what we have to have. This is what we have to do in our life. We need to, let me get over there. Come on, Bible, work with me here. To know wisdom. To receive. Don't we need to employ it in our lives? Make it a part of who and what we are? We need to follow the path of wisdom in our life. Where does it come from? It comes from God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Don't get off the path. Stay on course. The ways of wisdom. If you want grace and peace, long life, favor with God, those all come from wisdom. God promises. Back to chapter 8. I want you to look at verse 34 again. "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." Now that's a pretty bold statement, wouldn't you say? I think it is. As wisdom's calling out to us, just like the Bible tells us, we cannot serve two masters. We're either going to love wisdom or hate wisdom. We're either going to be wise or we're going to be a fool. It all depends if we're willing to walk in the ways of wisdom. Will you bow your heads tonight? I'll be the first to admit that I'm not as wise as I should be. But I think we all could say the same. And as the instruments come, or the instruments are here, the people come to play the instruments. As they begin to play, would you consider your ways? Are you walking in the ways of wisdom? Are you following the precepts of God? Are you putting into practice the things that you already know and understand about the Word of God? And as a result of that, are you seeing the power of God resting upon your life? Or perhaps, are there some things clouding your way of wisdom? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Maybe love of the world. Maybe love of self. Let the Holy Spirit of God speak to you tonight. Would you come? Would you answer the call of wisdom? Would you do what the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do? Make the decision that He's prompting you to decide? Would you come? Maybe you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. You don't know for sure if you died today you'd go to heaven. We'd like to show you how. We'd like to take a Bible and show you from the Scriptures how you can be saved today. How you can have your sins forgiven and have a home in heaven. You say, Brother Combs, I don't know for sure if I die today, if I go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that? Would you just raise your hand? Just slip it up, put it back down. I'll pray for you. See, I do not know for sure if I die today, I go to heaven. Anybody like that tonight?